Medical Ministry, Section 10, Opportunities for Ministry in Hospitals and Sanitariums. Restoration through Reformation. The human family is suffering because of the transgression of the laws of God. Satan is constantly urging men to accept his principles, and thus he is seeking to counterwork the work of God. He is constantly representing the chosen people of God as a deluded people. He is an accuser of the brethren, and his accusing power he is constantly using against those who work righteousness. The Lord desires through his people to answer Satan's charges by showing the result of obedience to right principles. He desires our health institutions to stand as witnesses for the truth. They are to give character to the work which must be carried forward in these last days in restoring man through a reformation of the habits, appetites, and passions. Seventh-day Adventists are to be represented to the world by the advanced principles of health reform which God has given us. Still greater truths are unfolding for this people as we draw near the close of time, and God designs that we shall everywhere establish institutions where those who are in darkness in regard to the needs of the human organism may be educated, that they, in their turn, may lead others into the light of health reform. To reveal the principles of God's kingdom. It is God's design to manifest through his people the principles of his kingdom. That in life and character they may reveal these principles, he desires to separate them from the customs, habits, and practices of the world. He seeks to bring them near to himself, that he may make known to them his will. A great work is to be accomplished in setting before men the saving truths of the gospel. This is the means ordained by God to stem the tide of moral corruption. This is his means of restoring his moral image in man. It is his remedy for universal disorganization. It is the power that draws men together in unity. To present these truths is the work of the third angel's message. The Lord designs that the presentation of this message shall be the highest, greatest work carried on in our world at this time. That this work may be carried forward on correct lines, he has directed the establishment of schools, sanitariums, publishing houses, and other institutions. In these institutions, the attributes of God are to be unfolded, and the glory and excellence of the truth is to be made to appear more vivid. Opening fast-closed doors. Every medical practitioner may, through faith in Christ, have in his possession a cure of the highest value, a remedy for the sin-sick soul. The physician who is converted and sanctified through the truth is registered in heaven as a laborer together with God, a follower of Jesus Christ. Through the sanctification of the truth, God makes physicians and nurses skillful in a knowledge of how to treat the sick, and this work is opening the fast-closed doors of many hearts. Men and women are led to see and understand the truth which is needed to save the soul as well as the body. This is an element that gives character to the work for this time. The medical missionary work is as the right hand and arm to the third angel's message, which must be proclaimed to a fallen world. And physicians, managers, and workers in any line, in acting faithfully their part, are doing the work of the message. From them the sound of the truth will go forth to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. In this work the heavenly angels bear a part. They awaken spiritual joy and melody in the hearts of those who have been freed from suffering, and joy and thanksgiving to God arise from many hearts that have received the precious truth. Point to a sin-pardoning Savior. The physician will find that it is for his present and eternal good to follow the Lord's way with suffering humanity. The mind that God has made, he can mold without the power of man, but he honors men by asking them to cooperate with him in this great work. When the Spirit of God works on the mind of the afflicted one, and he inquires for truth, let the physician work for the precious soul as Christ would work for it. Do not urge upon him any special doctrine, but point him to Jesus as a sin-pardoning Savior. Angels of God will make impressions on the human mind. Some will refuse to be illuminated by the light which God would let shine into the chambers of the mind and into the soul temple. But many will respond to the light, and from these minds, every form of deception and error will be swept away. With tenderness and wisdom. The physician who proves himself worthy of being placed as leading physician in a sanitarium will do a grand work. But his work in religious lines should ever be of such a nature that the divine antidote for the relief of sin-burdened souls will be presented before the patients. All physicians should understand that such work should be done with tenderness and wisdom. In our institutions where mental patients are brought for treatment, the comforting words of truth spoken to the afflicted one will often be the means of soothing the mind and restoring peace to the soul. When the leading physician passes by the spiritual part of the work, he is remiss in his duty and gives a wrong example to the younger helpers who are learning to do the work of a Christian physician. These students neglect a part of the work that is most essential. This, I greatly fear, will result in a loss that can never be remedied. Learning to work as He worked. In all our sanitariums, God is to be acknowledged as the master workman. By becoming familiar with His life, the physicians and helpers are to learn how to work as He worked. He was the majesty of heaven, the King of glory. But, clothed with the garb of humanity, He took His place at the head of the fallen race. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He assumed human nature to make it possible for man to be a partaker of the divine nature. The physician who strives to represent Christ will not assume prerogatives that the Master has not given him. He will not seek to rule over his fellow men. He will remember that he is a laborer together with God. In spirit and word and act, he will represent the unseen one. Give heed to soul-winning effort. There are ministerial duties devolving upon the head physicians of our sanitariums outside of the purely medical work. They must give heed to the urgent calls that come for soul-winning efforts. Every jot of influence that the Lord has given them is to be used for Him. Our medical superintendents should so live and labor as to be recognized as men who place their trust in God, men who fear the Lord and depend upon His divine power. Daily efforts in soul winning. Our faith in eternal realities is weak, our sense of duty small, in view of the opportunities that we have to point souls to the Savior as their only hope. We are not to be cold and indifferent in regard to giving efficacious remedies for the healing of the soul. It is our duty to make known the truth, not in our own strength, but in the strong faith, assurance, and confidence that God imparts. In our sanitariums, no day should be allowed to pass without something being done for the salvation of souls. We are to offer special prayers for the sick, both when with them and when away from them. Then, when they inquire about the remedy for sin, our own souls, softened by the Holy Spirit, will be all aglow with a desire to help them give their hearts to God. Faithful service. All the nurses and helpers are to give treatments and perform other kinds of service in such a delicate, reverential way, and withal so solidly, thoroughly, and cheerfully, that the sanitarium will prove a haven of rest. The individual worker in any line in the treatment of the sick and the afflicted in a medical institution is to act as a Christian. He is to let his light shine forth in good works. His words are to magnify our Lord Jesus Christ. In the place of waiting for great opportunities to come before doing anything, he is to make the very best use of the talents lent him of God, in order that these talents may be constantly increased. He is not to think that he must be silent on religious subjects. Wherever he is, there is his field, in which he is earnestly to represent in word and deed the saving power of truth. He is not to wait to see what others do. He has a personality of his own, and he is responsible to Christ, whose servant he is, for every word and act. He is to be as attentive and faithful to duty as if he heard the Savior's voice. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. A mouthpiece for God. It is highly important to know how to approach the sick with the comfort of a hope gained through faith in Christ Jesus and acceptance of His promises. When the awakened conscience cries out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, make me thy child, be ready to tell the sufferer, the once indifferent one, that there is hope for him, that in Jesus he will find a refuge. The Savior is inviting everyone, look unto me and live. Come unto me and find rest. Those who in meekness and love present the hope of the gospel to afflicted souls, so much in need of this hope, are the mouthpiece of the one who gave himself for all mankind that he might become a healer, a tender, sympathetic, compassionate Savior. Let every means be devised to bring about the saving of souls in our medical institutions. This is our work. If the spiritual work is left undone, there is no necessity of calling upon our people to build these institutions. Those who have no burning desire to save souls are not the ones who should connect with our sanitariums. The workers needed. The Lord wants wise men and women acting in the capacity of nurses to comfort and help the sick and suffering. Through the ministrations of these nurses, those who have heretofore taken no interest in religious things will be led to ask, "What must I do to be saved?" The sick will be led to Christ by the patient attention of nurses who anticipate their wants and who bow in prayer and ask the great medical missionary to look with compassion upon the sufferer and to let the soothing influence of his grace be felt and his restoring power be exercised. Overcoming nervous timidity. The nervous timidity of the sick will be overcome as they are made acquainted with the intensive interest that the Savior has for all suffering humanity. Oh, the depth of the love of Christ! To redeem us from death, He died on the cross of Calvary. Let our physicians and nurses ever bear in mind the words, "We are laborers together with God." Let every physician and every nurse learn how to work for the alleviation of mental as well as physical suffering. At this time, when sin is so prevalent and so violently revealed, how important it is that our sanitariums be conducted in such a way that they will accomplish the greatest amount of good. How important that all the workers in these institutions know how to speak words in season to those who are weary and sin-sick. Physicians and nurses should ever be kind and cheerful, putting away all gloom and sadness. Let faith grasp the hand of Christ for His healing touch. As our nurses minister patiently to those who are sick in body and soul, let them ask God to work for the suffering ones, that they may be led to know Christ, and let them believe that their prayers will be answered. In all that is done, let the love of Christ be revealed. Promptness in meeting appointments. There have been defects in the management at the sanitarium. The patients have felt that they were not treated as they should be. Appointments have been made which have not been filled. Such failures as these will greatly militate against the influence of a physician. The patients will not be often thus disappointed without feeling bitterness of soul and mind. The sick pay for their treatments in order that they may recover health. But if they are disappointed again and again, the reputation of the sanitarium will be imperiled. This evil must be corrected. The attention that has been promised must be given to the patients, or the physician breaks the confidence of the patients in his word. If the leading physician cannot possibly meet the appointment, he should have his associate physician meet it for him, explaining to the patient the cause of his absence. Unless the physicians in our sanitariums are men of thorough habits, unless they attend promptly to their duties, their work will become a reproach, and the Lord's appointed agencies will lose their influence. By a course of negligence to duty, the physician humiliates the great physician, of whom he should be a representative. Strict hours should be kept with all patients, high or low. No careless neglect should be allowed in any of the nurses. Ever be true to your word, prompt in meeting your appointments, for this means much to the sick. Promptness and efficiency. The sick should not be compelled to wait when they need advice and relief. Never should the physician neglect his patients. He should have quick, penetrating judgment and should carry into the sick room a genial atmosphere. He should not be cold, reticent, or hesitating, but should cultivate those qualities which exert a soothing influence over the suffering ones. They want more than looks. They want kind, hopeful words. The doctor should be ready to give them cheerful, reassuring words, words spoken from the heart in wisdom, showing that he understands the cases of those under his care. This will inspire a restfulness and confidence, even at the first interview. The physician should be a man of pure mind. If his principles are uncorrupted, he will exert a telling influence in favor of the right. Physicians need to be constantly imbued with the Spirit of Christ, learning lessons from Him, the greatest teacher the world ever knew. Then they will be pure in thought, in mind, in action. They will give no hint in word or manner that will lead them to impure thoughts. Licentiousness is ruining many souls, and physicians especially need to watch and pray that they may not enter into temptation, and that they may have that grace which will make them examples of piety and purity. Their work is daily undergoing the close inspection of God, and their record will be accurately traced in the ledger of heaven. Physicians in our health institution have many and weighty responsibilities. Their only safety is in keeping their thoughts and impulses under the control of the great teacher. They have golden opportunities for doing good. They can guide and mold the many and varied minds with which they are brought in contact. They should take a stand for God. Show men and women connected with the Institute how pure and noble they may become. Show them that you have firm confidence in God and that He is your source of strength, that you are resting wholly upon the promises. Fulfill your duty with promptness, while claiming your Heavenly Father's help to overcome all weakness of character. With the hand of faith grasping the arm of divine power, put your whole being into your work. The privilege of ministry. To the workers in our sanitariums, I am instructed to say, truth must be wisely, kindly, tenderly presented. In the 14th chapter of John, there are precious lessons, valuable instruction, which should be appreciated by every child of God who desires to minister to others the comfort and grace of God. Let these lessons be impressed upon the mind. Over and over again, let them be repeated. The Lord has brought us into possession of our health institutions that we may learn to bring to the sick, in the most attractive way, truths of heavenly origin. We must never lose sight of the fact that these institutions are instrumentalities in the hands of God for bringing the light of truth to those who are in darkness. In His work of ministry for the sick and afflicted, Christ stands before the world as the greatest medical missionary the world has ever known and the pattern for every Christian missionary worker. He knew the right word to speak to each sufferer. And He spoke not only that which brought healing of body, but conviction of soul and spiritual enlightenment. He brought to the understanding of those who sought Him a knowledge of self and of the soul's highest need. Christ's discourses were the spiritual explanation of His ministry for the afflicted. He himself was the great ideal of righteousness to those for whom he ministered. Thus he planted the seeds of truth in human hearts. Prayer for the sick. Often in the care of the suffering, much attention is given to minor matters, while the patient's need of the great all-saving truths of the gospel, which would minister to both soul and body, is forgotten. When you neglect to offer prayer for the sick, you deprive them of great blessings, for angels of God are waiting to minister to these souls in response to your petitions. In every possible and pleasant way, those who know the truth should seek to reveal the power of the grace of Christ. As they exemplify truth in their daily walk and conversation, they will exert a holy influence, and the grace of Christ will cooperate with human effort, working intelligently for the recovery of body and soul from the results of sin. They will be true workers together with Christ and will be instruments in His hands to show forth His praise and salvation. The Savior's love to be experienced. The exercise of wisdom and good judgment will accomplish much for God. As His servants work out the requirements of the gospel according to their ability, God will make them a praise to His name. He purposes that through the exemplification of the truth in the lives of His followers, souls shall be won to Him. All who profess godliness and a knowledge of the truth for this time are to communicate the same to those with whom they associate. But the fullness of a Savior's love is not expressed as decidedly as it should be, and as a result, in places where a rich harvest might be gathered for God, there is seen a dearth. "Found wanting" are the words written against the names of many who might have done a work that would have won the approval of heaven. There is needed, to unite with human effort and ability, a larger measure of the grace of Christ. It is God's purpose that our health institutions shall become very effectual means for bringing souls to the light of truth. Much more should be done to encourage. Only when we do our best for the upbuilding of Christ's kingdom can the words be spoken to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Only as we exemplify the Spirit of truth in our lives can Christ's Spirit work with us to convict hearts and convert souls to the gospel. To teach and to comfort. Christ desires to work in many ways through the men of His appointment. Every worker in our sanitariums should regard himself as Christ's minister to teach and to comfort, to let the light shine forth in word and deed. Those who are blessed with the light of truth are to reflect light. In taking the name of Christ upon them, they have pledged themselves to become laborers together with God, and a spirit of consecrated labor should be manifest in working out the Lord's plans. They are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, presenting the beauty of His life in their own example of earnest, self-sacrificing labor. I pray that the Holy Spirit may lend its sanctifying power to the workers in our institutions. My brethren and sisters, arouse and become laborers together with Him who gave His life for the saving of the world. We must not lessen our efforts at this time. Christ asks you to labor with all the energies of heart and soul and mind. If you will lend the aid of your influence and effort to the work of Christ, angels will unite with you, making you a saving power for Christ. A winning influence. In your care of the sick, act tenderly, kindly, faithfully, that you may have a converting influence upon them. You have need of the grace of Christ in order to properly represent the service of Christ. And as you present the grace of truth in true disinterested service, angels will be present to sustain you. The Comforter will be with you to fulfill the promise of the Savior, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." I have a charge to give, a message to bear to our sanitarium workers. Keep your souls in purity. Do a work that will have a winning influence on those placed in your charge. you can speak often to the sick of the great physician who can heal the diseases of the body as verily as he heals the sickness of the soul. Pray with the sick and try to lead them to see in Christ their healer. Tell them that if they will look to him in faith, he will say to them, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." It means very much to the sick to learn this lesson. Consecrated nurses. Earnest, devoted young people are needed to enter the work of God as nurses. As these young men and women use conscientiously the knowledge they gain, they will increase in capability and become better and better qualified to be the Lord's helping hand. They may become successful missionaries, pointing souls to the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world, and who can save both soul and body. The Lord wants wise men and women acting in the capacity of nurses to comfort and help the sick and suffering. Oh, that all who are afflicted could be ministered to by Christ-like physicians and nurses who could help them to place their weary, pain-racked bodies in the care of the great healer, in faith looking to him for restoration. Many converted and healed. Every sincere Christian bows to Jesus as the true physician of souls. When he stands by the bedside of the afflicted, there will be many not only converted, but healed. If through judicious ministration the patient is led to give his soul to Christ and to bring his thoughts into obedience to the will of God, a great victory is gained.